Now, NATO has this lunchtime said that there are no indications that the missile which killed two farm workers in a Polish village last night was the result of a deliberate attack. At a news conference in Brussels in the past hour, NATO's General Secretary Jens Stoltenberg said preliminary investigations indicate the missile was likely to have been fired by a Ukrainian air defence unit trying to intercept Russian cruise missile attacks and was not fired by Russia. He added that the incident was not Ukraine's fault, as it's trying to protect its land from Russian attacks.
An investigation into this incident is ongoing.
Une enquête.
And we need to await its outcome.
Est actuellement en cours. Nous devons en attendre les conclusions, mais nous n'avons aucune indication comme quoi il s'agirait d'une attaque délibérée.
And we have no indication that Russia is preparing offensive military actions against NATO.
Militaire offensive contre l'OTAN.
Our preliminary analysis suggests that the incident was likely caused by a Ukrainian air defense missile fired to defend Ukrainian territory against Russian cruise missile attacks.
And that's the General Secretary of NATO, Jens Stoltenberg. Well, we've been speaking to Fabrice Poitier, who's a senior fellow at the London-based International Institute for Strategic Studies and a former policy chief at NATO between 2010 and 2016. I began by asking him if we'll be able to find out with any certainty the exact origin of the missile which struck Poland.
Well, we all hope that we will. I mean, there is sufficiently radar and surveillance systems on the Polish border to be able to basically reconstruct the trajectory of those missiles. Everything seems right now to point towards a misfiring of Ukrainian air defense missiles or rockets to basically defend against Russian incoming missiles or rockets. So it seems we're heading towards that. And this is why it has kind of, I think the threat level has been lowered, because this is just a misfiring, an incident from what we call in military terms, blue on blue. So friendly fire on Polish territory. If it had been a misfiring of a Russian missile, I think there was ground for Article 4 and would have not been an escalation, but more a show of unity, sharing the threat assessment and taking possibly some defensive actions.
What about the resolve of NATO member states in relation to all of this, Fabrice? We've had the Ukrainian president, President Zelensky, speaking to the G20 this week, talking about Ukraine's war aims are to restore its original borders, to entirely remove the Russian presence from its territory. Now, do NATO member states, will they continue to back Ukraine as it seeks to deliver on that objective?
Well, I think they have to, because our security is bound to Ukraine's security. I think this is what NATO leaders have said very clearly when they last met in Madrid at the NATO summit, saying that basically the Euro-Atlantic security was dependent on the security of Ukraine, and the major threat to that security was Russia. So I think we are bound by the hips here. And therefore, our support is as important for the Ukrainians as it is for us and our own security.
And what about NATO unity? Perhaps a straw in the wind, but the Turkish President Tayyip Erdogan, he declined to attend that meeting, which President Biden called in Bali last evening, of NATO leaders. He stayed away.
Well, I think there are always, you know, different colors and different tones among NATO leaders. And Erdogan is obviously known for having more dissenting views or style. And remember that he's also in a pre-election campaign mode where looking anti-American or very critical of America is one of the kind of main lines adopted by Erdogan. So I will nuance that. But you're right. I mean, there are different views, but I think the outcome is always one of unity. And also one of very significant military and financial support to Ukraine. And we just have to carry on doing it until Ukraine has restored its sovereignty and has a position that is strong enough for an acceptable outcome in some possible peace negotiations.
And what at the moment, Fabrice, is, and indeed in the time ahead, is the scale of that NATO military aid? What's coming in?
Well, I don't know exactly what's coming in, because this is obviously lots of activities and bilateral support, but I think there are clearly both some traditional systems as well as air defense systems that are being provided, so that the Ukrainians can better protect their population centers and essentially deny Russia any success in putting pressure on the population and on the Ukrainian leadership. So I think this is what we're seeing now, and for the foreseeable future, until Russia decides to back off.
So these attacks that the Russians are mounting on a lot of civilian infrastructure across Ukraine, and we saw it again yesterday, I think something of the order of 100 missiles. Yes. Those attacks will continue, but the Ukrainians will, you believe, be able to some extent to defend themselves from this?
Well, whether those attacks will continue at the same scale, that's a question mark. Analysts consider that Russia is also reaching a bit the bottom of its own stockpile in terms of guided missiles and precision missiles and rockets. So that's one important factor. And the other relative factor is that the Ukrainians are also getting better at denying or interdicting those missiles and rockets from reaching their targets. It's not good enough, because as we've seen, out of 100, you have something like 24 missiles who reach their target and really created a situation of blackout and a very critical situation in some parts of the country. So I think we have to provide the Ukrainians more air defense and missile defense systems. But the Russians also are reaching a bit the bottom of what they can do.
And that was Fabrice Potier from the International Institute for Strategic Studies. After this break, we'll be talking to the incoming chief executive of the new Gambling Regulatory Authority.